Welcome in, everybody, to the How Not to Be a Youth Pastor podcast. Your favorite two youth pastors getting together every week to talk about ministry. Sponsored by Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime. I appreciate you showing the shipping label with my address on it to all of the listeners on Instagram. But
listen, all we have to understand is if Tucker wants to put that on there, that's his prerogative.
That's,
so can't blame me now. Point.
Yeah. It's that time of year for me personally where I get about 20,000 Amazon packages.
Personally.
Professionally, technically, but they all have my name on it. We do an event every year called Spring Formal, where we take our gym here at the church, completely deck it out. I described it to somebody the other day as prom without the gyrating.
Wow. That is a statement.
Thank you. It's basically, you know, we set up the gym, you know, a bunch of different decorations and stuff. My wife kind of heads that up, and it looks amazing every year. We do a meal, kids get all dressed up fancy, they come, have a meal, and then we have some sort of fun entertainment piece where they can win some prizes and stuff. And
don't
so,
you give away just like random stuff? Like it started,
we would have like a comedian come in or something like that. And so we're shelling out like, you know, $700,000 to bring like a comedian or some sort of person in for this event, which is fine because that's what we budgeted for. But then there was one year that 36 hours before the event, the comedian called me, or he emailed me. He was like, "Hey, I am in the hospital. I have kidney stones. I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to be able to make it." And my first reaction was, "Come on, toughen up, man. Let's go."
Wow. No. Have you had kidney stones?
No. I was like, I completely understand. Like, you know, get better, get healthy. We'll be praying for you. But so we had 36 hours to come up with plan B for our entertainment piece. And so what we did was we basically just like put together a bunch of different games that we came up with. And so, you know, we were playing like Price is Right. You know,
nice.
We like came up with some of the different like old school game shows and stuff. I think we put together like some sort of Family Feud game that the kids could play. But then we were we took the money that we were going to spend on the comedian, and instead we put it all toward just having a just a whole bunch of different prizes. And so we gave away like, you know, tickets to a Minnesota Twins game. We gave away tickets to an amusement park. But then we would like, hey, for the Price is Right, like you've got to guess, you know, the price of a head of lettuce in 1980. And so the kids are guessing, and the one that wins a head of lettuce.
Solid.
You know, it like we gave away a meatball sub one year. We, you know, just like really stupid stuff like that.
But that's the stuff they remember.
Like, yeah, combined with, you know, a bunch of cool things we gave away too. But we did that one year and they just loved it. And we'd like have students, you know, in the lead up to it, like, hey, give us suggestions of what you want to see us give away. We gave away a 5-pound bag of just the marshmallows from Lucky Charms.
Wow.
One year.
Fantastic.
I think my favorite one was there was one year we just hyped up all night. Like, you know, our last prize is going to be our biggest one. Like this is going to be our biggest prize. Yeah, biggest prize we've ever given away. We gave away a tree.
Solid.
Like, literally the biggest prize we've ever given away was like this 6-foot-tall potted tree that we gave to a
and
kid.
And I bet they went ape for it. Absolutely.
I don't remember who won it. I don't remember. I never got an email from the parents, so clearly they were all right with it. But I don't even, it might have even been a fake tree. I don't remember. But I was like, this is hilarious. We're going to do it.
The biggest prize we've ever given away.
Yeah, a tree.
Well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was an absolute blast.
I would say I'm going to replicate that, but I don't know if you can. That I think that's a 2-9 Youth original that needs to forever live in infamy.
Yeah. It, whoa.
Wow.
Excuse me. I don't know what happened.
T-Pain over there. You've heard of auto-tune. We got a
yeah. That
dropping the octave of your voice.
That was unusual. That's for sure. So we are going to dive in today to a quick question. By the way, if you have not listened to our previous episode from last week about our, we'll call it a theory, a, a wild suggestion that we made. We're still here. We're still alive. We're still kicking. We have not been excommunicated from the church
yet. Still blasphemous.
So yeah, we're excited about that. But today we are going to talk, if last week didn't get us kicked out, this week might.
Certainly.
I think is where we're at with it.
Fantastic. I love we come out of 100 episodes celebrating, flying high, and then we just dive into controversy.
We're just lighting the world on fire at this point. Just light it up and watch. We are going to dive into worship music, specifically some of our least favorite worship songs. If you want to describe it as worship songs that we hate, that's fine with
us.
That's
just so aggressive. I have a hard time saying I hate this worship song as I was thinking about Jesus, but you'll understand the sentiment here in a little bit.
Yeah, and we'd encourage you to go back and listen to episode 23 that we did way back in the day. We had worship leader Phenomenons. Nate and Sarah Engler on the show to talk about worship and youth ministry in general. But today we thought it'd be fun to dive into some specific worship songs that we are not fans of and talk about why. Because these are not the only songs that we're not super big fans of, but it'll give maybe just an idea as to, hey, there are other songs that fit into these categories as well. But before we do that, Derek, quick question of the day. Do you have any worship songs that are like your favorite worship songs at the moment?
At the moment? Oh, man, that's a good one. My wife and I have been kind of going back to this one song on repeat called On Time God, which is actually, I want to say it was written or played, I guess you could say, at a women's conference many years ago. But it's incredibly, incredibly powerful, phenomenal song. Also a huge fan of Corey Asbury. He's super legit. So he's got a song. I don't know if I'd call it a worship song as much, but I've been listening to it a lot anyway, which is called Kind. And that has been just an incredible song for me in a lot of ways. But the last one that I just, I was actually blaring on the way into the recording studio here today, which is Sunday Is Coming by Phil Wickham. And just a super powerful song for a lot of reasons. So I'm not a worship person per se, in the sense that I can't sing, I can't play any instruments. I have, I would say, negative musical ability in my body. However, I really think that worship is something that, whether you're musical or not, worship just really pierces the soul and is pretty incredible. So that's me, man. What about you?
I like it. I'm gonna go with like Derek. You know, it's too difficult to just pick one. As far as like upbeat songs go,
Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
Yep, that's a good one. I do like, so there's a song called That's My King, originally by Bridge Worship, which is my sister is actually one of the ones that wrote the song, so maybe I'm a little biased, but the singer Cece Winans, I don't know if you know who she is, but she's like a real big gospel singer. She just covered it on her newest album, which is pretty cool. And I love the song. There's a song that I wouldn't technically, I guess, classify as worship, but it's a song, I Need You by Gable Price and Friends. And I've told people that I've never heard ministry summed up in a song as well as that song. And I don't even know if that's why they wrote it, but it's money on that front. As far as true worship song goes, I will always have a thing in my heart for So Will I. I think it can sometimes be a difficult song for corporate worship, but because it's a little bit wordy, but
and it always changes,
right? It's, you know? There's no repetition in the song,
right?
Or there's very little. But when you know the words and you know the song very well, like it's just so beautiful.
Yep.
And I love that a lot. I have my playlist pulled up. Worthy is a song by Elevation Worship that I really love right now. I could go all day with this. This is a terrible opening question. I love Promises by Maverick City Music. That's a good one. This is a bit of an older one, but Miracles, which I believe is by Jesus Culture, or at least that's it. That, here's the thing about worship music. I'm listing off the versions of the song that I have on this playlist. It might not technically be who wrote it.
Yep.
Because, you know, there's a song on here, not to spoil it, but there's a song on our list that is very commonly attributed to David Crowder, but he's not actually the one that wrote it. But that's not like a knock on David Crowder or any other, you know, artists. I think a lot of them do that, and that's fine. It's just interesting that,
well, it's like, and it's not just Christian music. I mean, there's plenty of, you take any big name country artist, any big name R&B, hip hop, like a lot of these songs oftentimes are written by other people.
Oh yeah,
but performed by these headliners, which I never knew, but my wife, who is incredibly musical, alluded that to me, and I'm
well. That's the world that my sister and a lot of her friends are in. That my sister lives down in Nashville, and you know, they all the time. It's like, yeah, so and so wrote this song for this other artist that that might have more name recognition. I'm also, just real quick, one more. From the Inside Out. Do you ever sing
by
that
Hillsong?
One? Way back in the day.
That was probably my... That and The Stand.
Oh, classic.
Like, those are like what were the... When I got saved, like those were the songs that were on repeat in my truck, in my room. Like those wrecked me.
I want to dive in and start with... I'm going to start with The Stand, even though I love the song. I want to bring it up as just a classification of songs that I don't hate them, but I can hate them. All right. So The Stand.
Let me just rephrase this because it's early. You don't hate them,
but I can hate them.
What do you mean?
I am so glad you asked.
I don't
Derek's
know.
Derek's not fully awake yet.
No, I don't know what the deal is. But I am like not following at all.
So I don't hate The Stand, but if the worship team is on minute 9 of playing The Stand, I hate The Stand.
I see.
That's where like Spirit Breakout is another one that falls into that category where it's like there's only, I mean, Spirit Breakout is like a chorus and two verses and that's it
for 10 minutes.
And you'll see worship teams go on and on and on with the same song, just hammering it into the ground. And you can find the same thing with worship songs where, and I wish I had an example of this off the top of my head. But if like the bridge is very repetitive and then you do the bridge 12 times, it feels like you're doing the bridge 30 times just because of how repetitive the bridge is. And so I think there's a category of worship songs that are good in moderation, but if you sit in it for too long, you're in trouble.
I'm so curious to know. I think this is probably an important stipulation. You serve on a worship team periodically, yes?
Every single week, yeah.
Okay, so you play guitar, right?
So, yes, I played several instruments because we don't have any other drummers for our youth team. I drum every week.
just so awesome. I can set
a fire. That's another one.
Here's
that
the
falls
problem.
Into this
Every
category.
Time you say one of these songs, I have to like consciously pull myself back to not just bust out in song.
Sure.
For all of these songs and sing the chorus. But I know if I were to listen back to this, I would actually hate myself. hearing my voice come through. So that is a good one. But yeah, it's long. I also want to circle back to this quick. The idea that you have a new student coming into youth ministry, they play games, they have fun, they are having a good time, worship starts, they're getting into it. All of a sudden, the drum cage opens and here comes the youth pastor who starts to preach. It's such a baller move.
You got
to
do what you got to do sometimes. I'm not a drummer. I just know I can keep a beat.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I can't.
And honestly, I tell people all the time, like, I am super grateful that I took classical piano lessons growing up, specifically our teacher taught us music theory enough to where I can basically pick up any instrument that I want at this point. And it's really like once you get that baseline, it's much easier to pick up other instruments. And I would encourage any parent, like if your kid's into music, figure out a way for them to learn some music theory, because it will completely open up their musical world and what they're able to do. That's not what this was about, but
hold on.
Amateur tip. It's not a pro tip. Sorry. I ended up on somebody's blog here of 17 most unbiblical worship songs.
Fantastic.
And I don't know. I don't have the time to dive into why they're saying all of these are unbiblical. I have to say this. You can't. Okay, this is titled List of Most Unbiblical Worship Songs. Number 15, America the Beautiful. Not a worship song. That is not. You can't put that song on here.
How is that even on there?
I don't know.
Because it says God in it.
I don't know.
That's I don't even know what to say to that, to be honest.
Oh. Basically it looks like their argument is that some of the phrasing in America the Beautiful should be reserved for God alone in a worship setting.
Okay. Sounds like a pretty reputable blog to me.
I don't know. This is going downhill fast. We should probably return to the content that we get.
That's what I was gonna say though, and I feel like this kind of this sets a fairly big umbrella to what we're gonna talk about for the remainder of this episode, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, we shall see. But my point is, like, I want to just kind of set the tone that I've never really loved people who just go on a limb here and say, this is a horrible song, you shouldn't worship to that. Because, like, that's just not, like, if God is moving through you and you are connecting with him through worship, then frankly, like, I think that's a great thing. Even if you sit there and go, theologically, that's not actually accurate. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? Like, it's the same thing with the, and again, I say who cares, like, I'm not saying we're going to, like, worship blasphemy, but my point is, if you're trying to go through worship songs with a fine-tooth comb in such a way to be most pure and accurate, there's a very good possibility there's going to be people that get missed. And, like, that was the Pharisees' whole deal, is they just, what did Jesus say? Like, you strain out a gnat, but you can swallow a camel or something like that. Like, at some point, you become so just fine-toothed that you might miss the fact that some of these songs were not written in such a way that those who have been studying the Bible for 20 years are meant to just love and cling to them. A lot of these songs are written from a place of people on their journey to finding Christ. And that is why they wrote that song, and many other people have followed suit. So I kind of just want to paint that disclaimer here, is that while we kind of are going to highlight some of these songs, we're not saying these songs are A, wrong, B, horrible, or C, like, things you shouldn't worship necessarily. These are just things that we've noticed in them, and here's maybe why we point some things out in them, but I don't want to make anyone feel guilty or shameful if they're like, I actually love that song. Just because that's our opinion doesn't mean it has to be yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wanted to, I want to start, because the other disclaimer maybe that would be good to talk about is that some of these songs were not written to be worship songs, and some churches have, you know, made them worship songs, or they try to make them worship songs. And that's where I think we can also, you know, it doesn't make the song itself a bad song, but, you know, maybe this is not the context
totally
for that song. Mm-hmm. And so on that note, I'm going to start off with the song Talking to Jesus. To my recollection, so it's written, you know, Elevation Worship, Maverick City Music, you know, there's kind of some collaboration there. As far as I remember, you know, the song was primarily written kind of out of Pastor Stephen Furtick's own experience, his own life. And the first, you know, the first few lines of the song, Grandma used to pray out loud by her bed every night. To me, it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying is what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. And now I know she was right. You know, effectively, he's kind of talking, you know, it's kind of talking about like his relationship with his grandma, seeing his grandma pray. You know, second verse, Mom used to drag me to church. You know, I put up a fight, but my mom was right, kind of stuff. If that's your story, then that song is going to hit very differently than if that's not your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're the first person in your family to come to faith, then singing this song on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night mm-hmm. feels real weird.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that this song can speak a powerful truth over a situation. You know, I'm not saying that the lyrics are terrible, but for a corporate worship setting, that is not what this song was written for.
Mm-mm.
And I think that you kind of end up alienating a large group of your audience if you try to take a song like this and put it into that context.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pulling up the lyrics of this right now because that song, like there's a powerful message to that. It's the whole point that like prayer is this conversation with Jesus. It's something that I've actually have found value in, but I completely agree with you, Kyle. I've never seen it on a Sunday morning. You don't have to say it whether you have or not, but
I have. It was weird.
And that's where I could see that, because if you recall, one of the songs that I said that I am loving right now was called Kind by Corey Asbury. And the reason he wrote this song is he was talking about the just rawness of life. Here's how the song starts, this song. It comes out of just a beautiful finger picking with a guitar, and then these are the lyrics. Sometimes marriages don't work, and sometimes babies die. Sometimes rehab turns to relapse, and you're left just asking why. And for all the prayers I've prayed, I still wonder if he's real. And if he is, how is he choosing who he does and doesn't heal?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say like how in all of these hard circumstances, all these doubts, all these questions, he's found that at the very core of who he is, the Lord is kind and he's good and he loves us. Phenomenal message. Something mm-hmm. that just like hits home. But like, mm-hmm. I can't imagine, hey, everybody, welcome to church this morning.
Well, sometimes no, you certainly don't work. You certainly don't want to lead with that song.
Right.
Play I Thank God first and then go to
yeah, exactly.
Exactly. But I mean, like the question at the beginning was, what are some worship songs that you're really loving right now? You brought up that song. I brought up the song that I'm like, yeah, this perfectly encapsulates ministry.
Yep.
Neither of those songs are really corporate worship songs on Sunday mornings.
Right.
Even though, but like we still both were like, yeah, I'm really loving this totally. Song right now. And so
totally.
It can be in that category,
mm-hmm.
but not be in the, this is good for corporate worship category. You know, the later verse in Talking to Jesus is, I've got three of my own now trying to raise them up right. My oldest is 15. That's a weird lyric for a 21-year-old young adult.
Yeah.
And so again, that is where, you know, and there's always going to be a line in a worship song that rubs somebody the wrong way. You know, a line like that to a 21-year-old young adult or to a couple that's had three miscarriages, like that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And but you can't, I'm not saying that you have to like comb through every lyric of every song to make sure it can't possibly be sad to anybody. Mm-hmm. Because there's a rawness in our emotion when we worship God. I love, part of the research for this episode led me down the rabbit trail of all the people that claim worship music is emotionally manipulative and meant to manipulate people's emotions as they worship. I don't know if you've ever delved down that rabbit trail before. It's an interesting corner of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, I would love to have a dialogue with someone who, like, that's their mindset, because I feel like you can turn that around and say, if God is the one that created our emotions, why would our emotions not be a part of worship?
No question.
Like, are we designing worship music to play on our emotions, or are we worshiping with our emotions in the music that we worship through?
Yeah, that's super good.
I feel like that can go both ways.
Yeah.
All right, what other songs we got?
I'll do this one. The song that you kind of alluded to earlier, this is a David Crowder song. For the record, it's not that I hate the song, but there's one lyric in there that I just, it literally like makes my spine tingle.
So what you're saying is that, because I believe, John Mark McMillan, original artist. I actually saw
really?
Him in concert like before this song was even a thing. I don't even know if he played it, but it was actually really real quick. It was really funny because he played a song in a 5/4 key signature. And for those of our listeners who are musical, a 5/4 key signature is like unheard of. And he basically prefaced the song by telling a bunch of us white Midwesterners not to clap along because we wouldn't be able to, because we wouldn't be able to figure it out. And I thought it was hilarious.
Fantastic. I'm glad you got to explain that, because I was like, when you said 5/4 key signature, you could have told me how to change a transmission. It would have been about as helpful as what that means. But yes, while it's not his song, David Crowder, I think this is what put this song on the map.
Yep.
And it's How He Loves. And there's one line in there.
Sloppy wet.
Seriously. There's two variations, right? There's the unforeseen kiss, which has just still weird, but just like a little bit of dignity and just class. But there's something about like a sloppy wet kiss that just rubs me the wrong way.
So I am not, I have to preface what I'm about to say.
I am very intrigued about what's come out of your mouth.
I am not condoning, supporting, or recommending Tinder. But if a Christian were to, like, is there like a Christian version of Tinder? Like, I'm not talking like ChristianMingle.com or Farmers Only or, you know, all of those ones. Like, which is not technically Christian. I just love any chance I can get to mention FarmersOnly.com because I think it's hilarious. There are... where was I even going with that?
I have no clue.
It would be just absolutely epic for somebody's bio on a dating app to only be sloppy wet or unforeseen. Like, ask that question in your bio.
Wow.
But like on a secular platform where only the Christians would understand what you are referencing, and they would all get it.
Yeah.
And then they would probably have a pretty strong take on it. But if you put that in your bio where like that's what people who are messaging you are responding to, I think that's the most epic way to use online dating I've ever heard
of.
That's
the filter right there.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I was looking up, so John Mark McMillan,
right,
the original artist, he used sloppy wet
kiss.
Oh, yeah,
the OG is sloppy wet kiss.
Yeah.
David Crowder is the one, I believe, that introduced unforeseen kiss.
Good man. And again, like here's why, outside of it just being a little like cringe, here's why I just have a little bit of an issue with it too. Again, everyone's different, right? Like, we're not going to cater every single worship song to the benefit of everyone else, but I do know there, for some people, there is an intimacy with Jesus that is like just, your own. And so I don't mean this as a slight. I don't mean this as a dick. I don't mean this like in any joking manner. But some people truly like seeing God as this daddy God, right? Like that is something that we've heard. And there are other people where it's like, I'll tell you right now, if I hear daddy God in your church, I'm never coming back. Right? Because like for some people, that's like, that's just weird to me, you know? And so I'm not, again, this is not, I'm not trying to jump on that debate either which way. I'm just saying, I always go back to, if you're a new person walking into church and you are new to this whole concept and you're singing out loud and all of a sudden there's this idea that there's this sloppy wet kiss coming from God, you're like, what in the heck is going on right now? And I just, that's kind of where I go with this particular lyric is, I get the concept. I think I totally understand why the lyric was written as such. It understands the intimacy, understands the depth, all these different things. But it kind of goes back to that corporate worship thing. Is this meant for a Sunday morning? Yes or no? And that's the debate you have to have. But here's what it also unlocks for me in a way that I have just kind of wrestled with personally is, at what point have we deviated from the actual purpose of worship? Like, worship is meant and intended to give praise unto God, regardless of our circumstances. So where I struggle with songs like How He Loves Us is how intrinsically focused it is. Because the reality is He does love us, and His love for us is truly something that we're thankful for. It's something we praise God for. But when the whole song is focused upon how much we're loved, my million-dollar question is, are we singing and giving thanks to God for who He is or for what we're receiving from Him? Mm-hmm. You know, because like I've found so many worship songs are all about us, and they're great concepts, theologically sound probably, but worship is not for us. Worship is intended to give praise and gratitude and thanks unto God. And so that's my only beef with How He Loves outside of the sloppy wet kiss is just, it's not about us. It's about Him. And we got to always make sure our focus is fixated that way.
Yeah, there are several songs that would fall into that category of, you know, I focused, me focused.
Here's what God can do for me.
And yeah, there's a fine line there too, because it, like, if a, you can't throw a worship song out just because it has the word I in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
totally.
Or me.
Yep.
You know, Jesus loves me. Ah, well, nope. I don't care about this, I know, for the, like, nope, that's a terrible song. Can't yep. teach it to your kids. It has yep. the word me in it. Like, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, this next song that I want to touch on, kind of fits that bucket a little bit as well. And this is where I'm probably going to get in trouble from all the youth pastors out there. Actually, I don't even know if I'll get in trouble by youth pastors. It's the youth students that I'll get
yeah,
in trouble
you're,
for.
You're about to come under wrath.
Yeah, so bring it on. So I'm going to say that the next worship song that I don't like is Phenomena by Hillsong Young and Free. So let me read you some of the lyrics.
I've never heard the lyrics.
Phenomena.
That's all I've heard is that part of it.
Da 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 da.
Hey, did your daughter write this song?
No, it is so. Yes, ha ha. There's kind of a tag in the song where they're just saying dot 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 all over. I think one of the biggest lines that I don't like is in verse, I think it'd technically be verse 2. My friends keep saying I've changed. I'm acting different now. They want to know what I know. They want the truth. And so I told them, if you're free on Friday, come to youth with me. Leave your past right at the door and you'll never be alone. Now, first of all, there was definitely no mention of God in that verse, which is not inherently bad. There was a lot of you know, me centric. I've seen just about every youth group or convention or conference change that third line. Instead of if you're free on Friday, come to youth with me, they just change it to like, you know, if they're playing it on Tuesday night at camp, they'll say if you're free on Tuesday, come to camp with me, or whatever it is. If you're free on Wednesday, come to youth with me. They'll change it to make it, you know, relevant or fit mm-hmm. the context. But I had. And this perfectly describes this song to me. I actually had one of our own youth students come up to me last week and or 2 weeks ago, and he was like, "Hey, would you be willing to learn Phenomena on the drums?" And I was like, "Why?" He's like, "Because some of us really want to do it for our worship, for worship." And I was like, "Oh, who's us?" And he listed off like, you know, 4 or 5 students. He listed off our worship leader, who I know doesn't like the song. And so I was like, all right, I don't know how you threw his name in there. But I asked him, why do you want to do that song? And he said, and I am not going to get the exact quote right, but it's going to be close. He said, because I think it's a hype song and kids will really be energetic and you know, like they'll love the energy and, mm-hmm. and it's a hype song where we're kind of the phrasing that he used. And so I didn't say no. I asked him, how long have you known me? It was like, you know, 3 or 4 years. And when have hype and dancing ever been my priorities in a worship setting? And he just kind of sat there and thought and went, huh. Never. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of the conversation. Yeah. But that's what, like, I don't see, personally, I do not see the connection between encouraging a mosh pit during the first song of worship and a true worship experience the rest of the set.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. I mean, we see it at camp. I've seen it in many youth group contexts. And again, like, I think it really goes to what is your mission and your vision, right? Because like I know for a fact with your youth ministry, Kyle, you guys are a very deep group in the sense of like, your students are incredibly mature. We've had this conversation before. They're hungry for depth. You know, they're hungry for that next step. And that is indicative by how you guys lead worship. And that's fantastic. And I agree with that 100%. And I also have seen, I would say, on the other side of the spectrum where it's like they're just trying to get kids in the door, that their version of getting hyped and excited is listening to songs that have an expletive every other word, you know? So to me, it kind of comes down to what is the rationale, which you just highlighted. What's the purpose for us playing this song? To get hyped? Okay, well, we can get hyped, but maybe like not as part of the worship set, you know? Or maybe like we can...
Well, and there are other... So, like, we are recording this on a Thursday. Last night, we played I Thank God during our worship set.
Mm-hmm.
But... that and our students jump and dance and clap all throughout that song.
Yep.
They love it, but it's also much more focused on God than this particular worship song or this particular song.
Totally. Yeah, man. I mean, I get it. I really do. And I know the students love it, and that's cool too. I see both sides of it. I really do. I see where you're coming from. I'm also like, I also love when kids are excited about songs that aren't naughty, if you will.
Fair.
But I see where you're coming from a corporate worship standpoint. Okay. While we're stepping on toes here.
Is this where you're going?
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. I need to.
Derek's got
to
pray up before he talks.
I do. I'm going to say this is a preference, not a truth. Is that fair to say?
If you...
Let me
I'll let you talk first.
Let me lay this out and then you can say
I think that's fair.
This is not a universal truth that I think I'm right and everybody else is wrong. This is a preference for me, and here's why. Christian radio, whether that be here in Minnesota, there's KTIS, there is Air One. Incredible station. As a matter of fact, when I was newer to my faith, I listened to it exclusively. If I'm not listening to my phone in the car via podcast or my own playlist, this comes on at some point. I will say about 95% of my driving involves my phone being hooked up. But it's because of this purpose. What the only dig I have against Christian radio is sometimes it feels superficial. And sometimes it feels like, oh, let's just be together and let's just sit here. And again, for some people, that's what they need. If you're turning on Christian radio on your drive in, it's probably because you want to be anchored and you don't want to fill your mind with other music, in which case I'm great. Like I have no qualms with that. If you're in the camp of I don't want to fill my mind with non-Christian songs, I am 100% in agreement with that. The only issue I have with these Christian radio stations is sometimes it just feels like what I even mentioned before is here's what God can do for me. So I'm going to ask him for that. I'm going to listen to this music as a way of saying, God, I need you to move in my life. And that's great. Like that's fine. I just, sometimes I struggle and it doesn't feel as authentic. And sometimes it in a very roundabout way, it can be very me focused. And there are just times I turn it on because I really want to worship the Lord. And sometimes it's just like, it's this slow, mellow, just let's just be together and just like sing about hope in the dark times. But sometimes it's just like, I want to worship the Lord. I want to praise. I want to do all these different things. And so I don't know if any of that makes any sense, Kyle. I'm trying to kind of paint both sides here. Maybe I'm not even painting either side, but I don't know. I've kind of gone more and more away from quote unquote Christian radio just because I have typically put my own worship songs in there and worshiped that way.
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing with Christian radio is, so one of the biggest problems with Christian radio is that it is not a problem that is only in Christian radio. And it's that it's the same songs over and over and over again.
For years.
And this is not, that's not a problem specific to Christian radio. That's mm-hmm. a problem to all radio stations to some extent. I do think, or maybe it just feels like Christian radio tends to hold on to their same rotation longer than secular radio stations. I could be wrong on that, but that
should also make sense.
Feels
because there's a smaller pool of artists making new music, which
that's fair. Yeah, I think that I also think that like there are genres of Christian music. Or streams of Christian music, I'll call it that, that Christian radio doesn't, like Christian radio is its own genre within Christian music.
Mm-hmm.
Like if yeah. Christian music is a genre of music, there are, it's hard to put into words, but like there's a distinct like grouping. Like you, if you hear Christian music, you know what kind of songs are going to be on there. Mm-hmm. Like my wife has a playlist on Spotify of Christian songs.
Mm-hmm.
She actually calls it the name of the title or the title of the playlist is Baking Bread with Jesus.
Nice.
Cause like this is the kind of music she'll throw on, just like around the house,
mm-hmm.
when she's doing stuff. But I mentioned the band earlier, Gable Price and Friends. There's an artist by the name of Jervis Campbell. Another one that I'll mention is Strings and Heart. These are artists. These are like you will not find their music on Christian radio, but I love that type of like it's almost punk Christian.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it, like, my biggest issue with Christian radio is not that it exists. I think it is great. Totally. And I think that there are people that want that. Cool. But I would love more variety within Absolutely. The entire umbrella of Christian music.
Thank you for articulating that, because I feel like I did not do a good job of that. But that is exactly... It just feels like if Christian radio is this multifaceted thing, we're getting one little slice of the pie,
mm-hmm.
like shoved down our throats every single day. And it feels sometimes redundant. It's sometimes like, here's what's weird. There are sometimes I'm more depressed after turning on a Christian radio station. And I don't mean that,
that
like
not what that's supposed to
I don't
do.
Mean that insensitive. I mean like truly like I'm in a place yeah. where it's like, it's beautiful out here. Like, praise the Lord. What a, like, I let's turn on some music. Like, let's praise the Lord. And it's like, hey, if you're going through something, here's a song that hopefully will encourage your soul. And like, if you're in that spot, praise the Lord. Awesome. But when you want to praise the Lord for all the good things, sometimes you kind of get sucked into this, oh yeah, there is some really junky crap in our world right now. Yeah. You know, like then that yep. that's ultimately the beef of it. So thank you for taking my rat's nest and yep. making it look nice.
The other thing that I'll say about Christian radio is that, and this is, you know, station dependent within Christian radio. I, you know, and again, this is just a personal thing, but the fundraising sometimes gets to me. You know, the constant, like, hey, we're doing a fundraiser to raise money for the station. That's not why I turned on my radio station. I just wanted to listen to music, but that's just my own personal thing. So anyways, okay, we have one more song we're going to talk about.
One more.
And I put this one in here, and I feel like all of these we've like had to caveat before we said what they are.
No, but this one, our children will be talking about. And our children's children will be talking about
for generations.
Yeah,
yeah. that was good. I want to preface this song by reminding our listeners, reminding us that we are youth pastors. All right. So the song that is not my favorite is "The Blessing," and it literally like. The song itself, like, I mean, it's again, this is one of those songs that could go back in the first bucket of, you know, minute two of this song is precious, minute 12 of this song, I want to kill myself. But this, like, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. 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 All that was beautiful podcasting right there. That's fine. All right. That's not bad. It is clearly written as it was originally written and performed, not necessarily as a true worship song, but as a, like, we're going to sing this blessing over you. Right. And that's very much how this song reads when you look at the lyrics. I don't have a problem with this song at all, with this song being used like that. All right, like, hey, what? Like, I want to pray this prayer, this blessing over our congregation this morning. I do not have a problem with this song being used like that on a Sunday morning. My, I guess, issue with this song comes specifically within a youth context. And when you get to, I guess you would just call this like the chorus and the bridge, or the like the verse and the, I don't know what, but the bridge of the song is, may his favor be upon you and 1,000 generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. And that's where our kids are 15. They don't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're not thinking about kids. And I can't speak for Derek, but the words of this song mean something very different to me now with a daughter than they did 2 years ago when I did not have a daughter.
Right.
And so that's, I think that that's a, like, I do not have a problem with this song, but I don't think that this song works in any capacity in a youth setting.
Right.
Because that is not their frame of mindset at all.
Yeah. I think that the power of those lyrics is in that chorus, mm-hmm. you know, like where he talks about the grace or the favor, to use their words, of the Lord extends beyond our life. As a matter of fact, it goes on infinitely. And again, like you said, you don't really understand that until you have another living being that you understand this is where I want that. And so, I mean, it's, again, it's not that it's a bad song. I just think the fact that the true power of it cannot be fully grasped in a youth setting. And I think that's a very astute observation.
So I Googled the lyrics of a lot of these songs and just had the different tabs up. And on this one, it says, you know, people also searched for, and it's got some suggestions for me. And one of the suggestions over here is Gyra lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Another great worship song that I completely forgot about until now. I enjoy
I love
that one.
Song.
But anyways.
I actually heard that live at Elevation.
Oh, did you really? Mm-hmm. Nice.
Pretty sweet.
And so that's, again, I think that the blessing can be a song done well in a church setting, in the youth context, not so much. But I will say that this song did give us one of my favorite memes of all time. Back in mm-hmm. 2020, 2021, when for our non-American friends during COVID, the government had several rounds of stimulus checks of just money that they gave to Americans to help them get through COVID. We won't dive into the politics of that. But when the government was doing that, there were people that were posting like no money is free money, right? Like, who's going to be paying for these stimulus checks? And then the lower half of the meme was Carrie Jobs singing, "And your children, and your children, uh-huh. and your children."
Uh-huh.
I thought it was just
absolutely
money.
Because that song was kind of really coming to prevalence around that time.
Right.
So it's kind of like a tandem.
Yep.
Yeah.
It
Fantastic.
Was released in 2020, according to the internet, which we always know is
100% accurate. Yep.
Yes, for sure. And so if you guys have other worship songs that you're like, hey, this didn't make your list, but boy, do I hate that song, please let us know. We always love disparaging the good people that are writing worship songs. No, we honestly, I think quite a few of the songs that we talked about here, we like them in the right setting.
Yep.
But corporate worship, and specifically youth corporate worship, might not always be the setting for that.
Totally.
And so I think that maybe to wrap this episode up, I think maybe we just want to encourage youth pastors to just take a second look at the songs that you are doing. 95% of them will probably stay in the mm-hmm. rotation after you do that. But just take a look. One, take a look at, hey, are there songs that we just do because everybody does them? And maybe I want to take a second look at that. And then also, there's some great worship songs out there. Throw a new one in there.
Yep.
I don't go so far. I actually had a worship leader in high school there, because there's a Bible verse somewhere in the Bible that says, sing to the Lord a new song.
Mm-hmm.
So his philosophy of worship was that he never played the same song twice. Every single song was a new song. He wasn't the worship leader very long. But I was like, this is difficult to learn every week.
Oh my gosh. But I can't imagine.
Yeah, it was not good. So my point is, don't do that.
I'm just going to ask. So you're saying we should not do that?
Yeah, please don't do that. There's a lot of benefit to familiarity, in worship. When you I don't have to look at the lyrics on the screen. I can just close my eyes and truly just focus on worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of power to that, but I have to know the song in order to do that. And so, if you are if we got students listening that are I should listen to more worship music. Spotify is a great resource.
Absolutely.
Apple Music, put a playlist together, add songs that you like, some that you've heard, some that you haven't. ask the worship leader at your church to send you a bunch of songs for a worship playlist. I'm sure they'd be stoked to do that, or your youth pastor. There's a lot of really good stuff out there. So start listening.
Love it, man. Well done.
That does it for today's episode. We appreciate you guys hanging out with the two of us while we talk through stuff. We have no idea what we're doing. We just open
make
our
it
mouths
up on the fly.
And it does it. So with that being said, I think it's about time that Derek and I go write our first worship album.
Goodbye.